once people have gone through the docent training, what are they looking at in terms of a commitment, weekly, and just in general?
Well, so once one has graduated as a docent, given one's first tour and had one's mentor sign off, give the approval, the typical docent commitment involves tours. So we ask that they tour at least 1 to 3 times per month. And that's usually on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday when we have our school tours in the mornings. But we also have the option of doing public tours, like many of our great public tours, on Saturday afternoons as well. And then we have, in off training years, we have monthly docent meetings. And there's a lecture at those. So even after the training has ended, docents still have a chance to continue learning about new cultures and new things that they might not know about already.
We're talking about a very enriching volunteer opportunity. Have you also seen it lead to professional experience or professional opportunities?
Well, I think most of our docents are members here of the Docent Council because they love to learn and they love to keep going on. Some of our docents, though, too, definitely do use this as an opportunity to learn. One of our great docents, whom it's just been a pleasure to work with so much, she was recently accepted into the JET program, an exchange program where she'll be going to Japan to teach English there. And so I think she will definitely have benefited from all the things that she learned here about different Asian cultures and about working with students when she goes to teach English in Japan.
I can't imagine that anybody would not benefit. This sounds like amazing leadership training. Is there a downside of any kind that you would warn people about before they become a docent?
I can't think of anything that wouldn't be totally wonderful all the time.
You've had a great time with it, in other words.
Yes, no, it's been great working with everyone here. I think all the docents would say that.
I didn't know if it were physically demanding in any way or anything of that nature.
Well, that would be the one thing. Leading a tour sometimes does involve, you do have to be able to move around the galleries for about an hour. Sometimes, you know, it can be a strain on one's voice. But, you know, we make allowances for, you know, it's definitely possible if you don't necessarily have to stand for an hour, if that's something that you can't do. But you just would need to be able to be physically fit enough to give a one-hour tour.
As we conclude here, Chelsea, I didn't get a chance to ask you before about the opportunities for the docents to be creative, to do anything different and kind of build their creativity as artists.
Well, it's really great that this program gives them such a strong background in art. And I think that's one thing that a lot of artists, especially contemporary artists, will say, is that the strong foundation in art history and traditional techniques and just general art techniques has really helped them grow. That's something that Takashi Tomooka, whose work is currently in our galleries right now, would say. That's something that Gajin Fujita, who's in our galleries last year, certainly says. And so I think that having this strong foundation of art and art history will really help them grow in their own creative pursuits if they so choose. And the museum also has a wide variety of classes that some of our docents choose to participate in, including Chinese brush painting and calligraphy, Chinese flower arranging, dyeing workshops. So we have a broad range of opportunities available.
And did I see somewhere that you have some docents who've been here 20, possibly even 30 years?
We do. We have some wonderfully dedicated docents who have been an absolute asset to the museum, and we're so happy that they continue to be involved and train future docents to carry on.